Welcome to another beautiful time in God's Word. Sit back as God's servant, Reverend Stephen Kibua, takes you on a journey deeper into the Word of God. Be blessed.
Turning your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 12, praise God, verse 2. Praise God. Father, we thank you for today. We exalt you. We magnify your name because of how gracious you have been to us. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for the promises you have given us in your word. Thank you for helping us, oh God. Even in the face of all the challenges, we bless you. We thank you. Lord, this is our season of transformation. And we ask, oh God, that as we look at your word once more today, you will cause us, oh God, to understand your mind. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Today, we're looking at what I call in his image. In his image. Romans 12, 2, I read, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable and perfect will. So he says, be not conformed, but be transformed. And last week we looked at the fact that conformity means we are going in the same way the world is going. He says, be not conformed to this world. He did not say be not conformed to the world. He says to this world. So he's specifically talking about a time, a season, a period, an age, a dispensation. So there's a lot of things that is happening that the world is imbibing or believing or taking or using as their pattern of existence or pattern of life. The Bible says we should not fall in conformity with those things. American Standard Version says, and be not fashioned according to this world. So don't let your life be fashioned according to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God is saying to us that he wants us to conform to his word. He wants us to be conformed to his personality, to his identity, to who he is, instead of being conformed to the world. Hallelujah. So God wants us to transition into his image. It's a very important thing. To transition into his own image. The image of God is where dominion is. Let's quickly look at Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, and God said, in Genesis 1, 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. I'll read that again. I want us to look at me while I'm explaining it. It says, God said, let us make man. So God was consulting with himself, the Trinity, the triune God. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit was having a conference about the creation of man. It says, let us make man in our image, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. So if you look at what the word says, let us make man in our image and let them have dominion. It means that dominion or the image of God is very pivotal to the ability to have dominion. So you cannot have dominion outside of the image of God. That's what the Bible is saying here. God says, let us make man in our image and let them have dominion. That means there is no having of dominion without the image of God. Are we following me? So the image of God is very important when you talk about having dominion. And what is dominion? Being in charge, being in control, ruling, reigning, being, you know, an absolute authority over the environment. So he says, let us make man in our image and let them have dominion. So the image of God gives us the capacity to dominate. So where the image of God, where we're devoid of the image of God, dominion is void, is absent, is not possible. Praise God. It's important for us to know what the word of God says. I'll read that again. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. There is no way humanity can have dominion if they don't have a part in the image of God. There is no way. There is no way man can reign. There is no way man can rule if they are not part of the image of God. So it's the only thing that makes us rule and reign within the context of God's ruling and reigning is to have the image of God. Now, the subject image of God has been confusing to lots of people. If you ask somebody, what's the image of God? I was actually doing that yesterday and asking, my older brother, who I see as my pastor, my mentor. He's a pastor. He's a wonderful man of God. It's not because he's my brother, but he loves the Lord. And I was asking, what's the image of God? And I asked him, what's the image of God? And many response people will give us, the image of God talks about the spirit of man. So we're made in the spirit. We're made spiritual being. That's what the image of God means. The word image of God actually transcends, the nature of the way we're made. It goes above that. It just talks about the fact that God has made us in a particular sphere and has given us some authority to do some things. Authority to do some things. We will explain that further. Praise God. Although we're made in the image of God in terms of God being a spirit, it doesn't just mean that the image of God means we're spirit beings. Because there are lots of spirit beings and they don't have the capacity to have dominion. There are lots of spirit beings, they don't have the ability. In fact, the world or the atmosphere or everything around them is dominating them. So when God says, let us make man in our image, it means let us make man with the capacity, innate capacity to have authority to rule like God rules and reigns. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it means let us make man in a way that man can excel in terms of having absolute authority over everything that is created. Over everything that is created. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll just share some things with us briefly on that and we'll go ahead from there. Amen. God is good. Someone say God is good.
God is good.
Okay, so the phrase image of God is not just about what makes us human. Sometimes people say, well, we're made the image of God because we're human. It's not just about what makes us human. It is about humanity's unique role in being God's kingly representation. So the image of God means our role in being the apogee or the apex of God's creation. We are the ones that God will rely on to do anything on earth. So we are God's own extension in terms of authority on earth. So what makes us able to do all that thing in terms of ruling and reigning is because we have the image of God. So it gives us a unique role in being God's kingly representatives in creation. It means once we understand what image of God means in Genesis, we will be in a better position to see how this idea is worked out elsewhere in the Bible. So when we understand what the image of God is, it doesn't just mean we are spirit beings living inside a body and we have a soul. It doesn't just mean that. And some people say the image of God means we have the capacity to relate, relational being. Animals are relational too. If you see the way a dog loves his owner, a dog would jump into the water to save his owner that is drowning. A dog would, you see dogs lying by their owner. You see a dog feeling sensitive when you're sick. There are some people that have dogs that when they are sick, the dog know. There are some dogs that have helped their owner to diagnose cancer. Because a particular dog would just sit near the owner and is crying and is just sitting there. And the woman was wondering, what's happening? Until she went for tests and she had a cancer that would have been detrimental in terms of death. But the dog will sniff out things like that. So sometimes animals can really relate very well. But that doesn't mean they have the image of God because they are relating well. So it's deeper than having, spirit living inside a soul and having a body and all the stuff. It's deep. It means God making you like himself. Because God is the arbiter, is the controller, is the judge of the universe, is the ruler of the galaxy. But he says so that you can have dominion on earth, he's made you like himself. Particularly in that area of having what dominion is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is why David would say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Not the son of man, praise God, that thou, consider him. He says, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man, and that you're so crazy about him. He says, you have made him a little lower than God. You made him a little lower than yourself, than Elohim. And crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him ruler over the works of your hands. So that's the image of God. The capacity to rule. It says, let us make man in our image and let them have dominion. So the image speaks of dominion. And dominion is not for you to just usurp authority or treat people anyhow. Praise God. Or just kill anyone that offends you. The image of God is to bring to bear what God will do in a situation, in our environment, in our world. So what is image? What is the image of God? Let's keep looking at what the image of God is. Now, it's our season of transformation. I want us to just understand the fact that God wants us to move from one place to another this season. And we must understand what that movement is. The word image in Genesis is the word selem or slem. Slem. It means likeness. It means resemblance. Let us make man in our resemblance. Because if you look at the word likeness and resemblance, it doesn't mean, you know, because God is a spirit, you know, people say, okay, God is a spirit, you know, we don't know how his form, his eyes, what's his shape, you understand? But we are like this, we've got two eyes, we've got two legs, we've got, you know, two hands and all those things. It doesn't mean that's exactly how God looks like, but God sees. So nobody can tell you this is the form of God. So if you say in the image of God, it means in the resemblance of God. What's the resemblance? God rules and reigns in the kingdom of men. God declares the end from the beginning. God is the author of life. So God has placed us on earth to be able to dispense his rulership. So image means a representation of the external form of a person or thing in art. It is a visual representation of something. So Genesis captures details of the creation account of the all-knowing and all-powerful sovereign God. Now, if you look at in Genesis when God was creating, when he was creating things that are not human beings, he says, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be, let the sun, let the firmament, let the seas bring forth. So it was just commands and orders and instruction, and they were happy. But when it came to man, he says, let us make. Let us make. So making man or man coming into creation is not something God spoke into being. God did not say, man, appear. He says, let us make man. And when God was making man, the fascinating thing is God went into himself, consulted with himself, before he made you and me. Let us make man. So God had a conference. But when God was making man, Bible says, God molded dust, and then molded man, and then put his essence, his breath, into man. And man became a living soul. But it says, let them have dominion. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So dominion has to do with rulership. Okay? Now, what we're looking at is transformation, like I said. We're looking at what God wants us to be, where God wants us to be. Let's quickly look at the book of Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The reason why you have pastors, the reason why I'm a pastor over you, is to perfect you. Perfecting of the saints does not mean you are flawless or you don't make mistakes. We all make mistakes and we will keep making mistakes. Praise God. We will keep making mistakes because we're not perfect. That is why the Bible says that when he that is perfect is come. Bible says we prophesy in part and we preach, we prophesy, we speak in part. But there is one that is perfect. Praise God. Praise God. So he says he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, and gave some evangelists, and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So if you're sitting under a pastor, you're sitting under an authority, you're sitting under somebody that is a shepherd or on the shepherd, the reason why they are shepherding you is to perfect you, is to make you mature. Perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, so that you can be like an evangelist. You can get out there and be able to talk about Jesus or talk about your faith without flinching or without being afraid. So pastors are meant to build you up, to make you mature, to make you perfect. And then the next verse, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. So if you read the word till we all come in the unity of faith, it means there is a particular time when pastoral work will cease. There is a time when pastors will stop existing in terms of pastoral work. Not that they're going to die, but the office is going to go. Praise God. So if I say to you, Mama, I want you to hold this money until I come to you on Saturday. That means when I come to you on Saturday, your access to the money ends. Okay? So if I say to you, Nana, I want you to be in charge of this place until Friday afternoon, by 12 noon. That means by 12 noon, you're no longer in charge of this place. So verse 13 says, until we all come in the unity of the faith. So we have pastors, we have evangelists, we have teachers, until we come. Are you still looking at this? I can see us flipping. It's Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. It says, if we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So pastors will be there until you all come into the knowledge of the Son of God. Until Jesus means what Jesus still means to you. Until you come to a point where nobody is pushing you to understand who Jesus is. You know Jesus for yourself. Praise God. Until you come to a point where you are becoming an authority in the Word of God or an authority in the things of the Spirit of God. Until we all come to the knowledge of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Praise God. So I will cease functioning as a pastor when you come to that point of full knowledge of who Jesus is. What do I want to teach you again? So the reason why pastors and evangelists are there is because they are ushering the church to meet the person of Jesus. Not just meeting by believing in faith or believing in your heart, meeting him as a form of, you are now like a complete likeness of Jesus. And it's sad that there are churches or there are ministers that do not understand this. That when we come to church, we want to merchandise the gospel. We want to tell people, you need to give this amount of money to sit in a particular pew. There are ministries that have conferences or meetings where people are charged based on the seat you're sitting at. The closest to the pastor, $5,000. The closest to the altar, $3,000. You know, people do all sort of things. People merchandise Jesus. People sell things, you know, to preach the gospel. And that is not what God has ordained. Until we all come to the unity of the faith, to the fullness of the stature of Christ, unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So when I see you, or when the world sees you, they see Christ. Praise God. And when we say they see Christ, I'm not talking about long hair, you know, brown eye, you know. No. They see you in your physical form, but in your innermost being, what you're exuding is the nature of Christ. In your capacity to forgive, in your capacity to love, in your capacity to support, to give. Praise God. You are displaying who Jesus Christ is. So the Bible that we read says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because where we're going is to become like Christ. Just imagine, you come into a place, you can see Christ everywhere. Hallelujah. Amen. You see Christ everywhere. If you see Christ everywhere, how is it going to be? The same Christ is the one that they brought a woman that was caught in adultery. They say, yes, Pastor, we caught her in adultery, live and direct. She was doing it when we caught her. The Bible says we should stone her to death. What do you think? Jesus looked at all of them and said, if anyone has not sinned among you, let him be the first to cast stone. And he started writing with his finger on the sand. And when he got through, everybody saw what he wrote and they all dropped the stones. And Jesus turned to the woman and said, woman, does anyone else condemn you? She said, no. Jesus said to her, go and sin no more. I don't condemn you. The world is not like that. The world, so today, there are some places where people are still killed for adultery. Jesus forgave the adulteress. A woman that is known as the widow of Nain, Jesus entered into the town. They were carrying her only son to be buried because he died. Bible says Jesus touched the bier, the people carrying the coffin, and they stood still. So Jesus touched the bier. When Jesus touched the bier, Jesus prayed for the widow's son, and he came back to life. Lazarus was dead 3 days. Bible says it was already smelly. Jesus went there and said, I am the resurrection and the life. So if we see Jesus is in church, the world is going to change for the better. If we see people living a life that is, you know, copied or that is an example of Jesus' life, the world will be a better place. A songwriter says, let the world see Jesus in your eyes, show them love they can't deny. Let the world see Jesus in your eyes, Jesus in your eyes. Let the world see Jesus in you. That's what God's intention is, that we all grow into the image, into the fullness of the stature of Christ. So we all cry, Jesus is coming. We want Jesus to come. Jesus will come. But Jesus also has a plan. And our plan, and his plan, is that we should be conformed to his image. If we all see Jesus, we should all act the same way. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Someone once asked the question, if we are all indeed looking at Jesus, we should act the same way. If a wife is looking at Jesus in the face of the chaos or the confusion or the marital challenges or problem they're having, she should act in a way that is almost the same as a woman going through the same kind of problem. P- People have killed each other because of relationship. Husbands have killed wife, even in the Christendom. Wives have done terrible things to their husband, even in the Christendom. Particularly in this side of the world, where, you know, people cry and say, look, I brought her to Europe, or I brought him to Europe. And people are shocked out of their houses because of this, you know, disagreements. And you see people back to square one or zero because of acrimonious divorce or separation or things that shouldn't have gone the way it is. If we're all Christians, we should think alike. If we all see Jesus, then we should act alike. But because we're pursuing our own selfish goals, we don't do that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. So God's mind is that we should be conformed to the image of his son. I read that in Ephesians again. He gave some pastors, he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, he gave some evangelists and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. The reason why I am here is to perfect you. The reason why any pastor is being listened to is to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So edify means to build. You should not hear a word and then all you go away with is negativity. You know, we have seen prophecies where you say, prophet, I want to prophesy. I prophesy on you. And when I prophesy, you can't go to your in-laws anymore. The person that wants to kill you is in your father's house. Huh? Jesus. You go and visit your village, you don't want to eat any food. Praise God. Even if the Lord speaks to you, there's a way you communicate what the word of God is. Praise God. The person that is doing you is your husband. So where do you want the woman to go back to? When now you are prophesying. And the funniest thing is some of those prophecies are not actually from the Lord. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. Your husband is the one who wants to kill you. Your wife is the one who wants to kill you. And then that's it. You've ended the marriage. I have seen people being prophesied upon and said that their mother is a witch. How can that transcend, or how do you manage that? If a prophecy comes and say your mother is a witch. There are prophecies that some people have given in church that says a child, your child is a witch. There's a documentary online, if you see that documentary about, you know, witch children of Africa or something like that, where children, pastor will prophesy over children and say they are witches. And then the father will want to mash at them in the church or in the people that are supposed to be Christians. If we are all looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we will think alike. What did Jesus Christ say? He says, bless your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Jesus didn't say kill them. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's where God is taking us to. Romans 8:29. Romans chapter 8:29. So mind renewal is about bringing humanity to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Not just reading your Bible. Bible says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But the intention of God is to take you to the original thing that he made. Something greater. That is why the Bible calls the Adam and Eve the first Adam. And then you call Jesus the second Adam. So the first Adam sinned and threw the world into sin. The second Adam brought redemption. So God is taking us back to the state of the first, of the second Adam. That's the person of Jesus. That was his original intention. Romans 8:29. It says, for whom he did foreknow, for whom God foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So you are predestinated, you are preordained to be conformed to the image of Jesus. To the image of Jesus. So God wants to see Jesus on every pew. God wants to see Jesus in every church. God wants to see Jesus in your offices. God wants to see Jesus manifest in your homes through your personality, through your identity. Praise God. He wants to see Jesus as a housewife manifest in your home. He wants to see the image of God himself manifest as a husband. Praise God. In your home. So that is the transformation we're talking about. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 8:29 again. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Did you see that? That Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. We are all Jesus's. We are all the same. We are all his brothers. Imagine having Jesus again in your office. Everybody that is a Christian is just a revelation of Jesus. We wouldn't have problem. Jesus is not the same as every other religious leader. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no man comes to the Father but by me. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So sometimes we read it and say, God has begun a good work. It means God has healed my body. It's not just about that. Praise God. He that has begun a good work is talking about a transformatory experience. It's talking about God bringing you to his realm. God bringing you to his level. God making you partner with him. God making you somebody that has dominion and reign and rule over your environment as he has ordained it to be. He says, let us make man in our own image and our likeness and let them have dominion. Praise God. When you have dominion in your home, the ambience or the environment or the air in your house will be something that will give glory to God. When you have dominion in your business, the way you run your business will reflect the glory of God. When you have dominion in your ministry, or you are doing things having to do with the way God has ordained for you to do it, you will see the revelation of the might and the power of God in that situation. Hallelujah. Amen. Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus. So the performance of the good work will be complete when we come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. So we still have a long way to go. Some of us are saying, if it's not that I'm a Christian, what I will have done to you here? Praise God. And we will have imagining, what I will do you? Jesus, so just thank Jesus. And as they are saying that, they are imagining how they will have taken you through the meal. Jesus! Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus! I would have showed you. Galatians 4:19, it says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. This is Paul to the Galatian church. It says, my little children, my children, my kids, my sons and daughters in the Lord, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Did you see that? He's travailing, he's pushing, he's laboring by preaching, he's laboring by teaching, he's laboring by men supporting. Is work by praying for them at night, by praying for them during the day, by listening to them, by counseling them, by teaching them, is so that Christ can be formed in them. Christ can be formed in them. I told us some time ago that when Paul became blind, when God revealed his glory to him and he became blind, praise God. When Paul was blind, God sent somebody to go and heal Paul. And that person was Brother Ananias, not Elder Ananias, not Bishop Ananias in Acts from chapter 9. He was a brother. Just imagine somebody comes in, a blind person comes in. I say, mommy, can you deal with the person? Normally we would say, pastor, can you come and pray for this person? You know, but he was a brother. Brother Ananias, just a member of the church. And he prayed for Saul and he became healed. Everybody was running from him, from Saul. Because they said, this is the guy that used to kill Christians. He used to kill Christians. He persecuted the church. And then Ananias had a revelation. And God told Paul, go to this street. You will see somebody there. He will pray for you. And it was a brother Ananias. So the world today, or the church today, everybody is relying on pastor. If pastor does not bless me, I'm not blessed. Pastor, just bless, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. It's good for pastors to pray for you. Okay? But the reason why pastor is there is to build you into a juggernaut in the spirit. It's to build you into a spiritual, colossal person. Is to say that you have come to a point where, you know, you can take spiritual decisions. You can control your domain by yourself on your knees. Praise God. You can walk in full wisdom of God. That's why pastors are here. You know, pastors sometimes, pastor bashing. I'm a pastor, so I know what I'm saying. You know, it feels good sometimes when people come to our pastor. I just hope my toe. Can you just pray? Okay, all right. I'm still in business. Let me pray for toe. You told you're just supposed to say, put paracetamol, rub, or, you know, say, so everyone, my pastor, in fact, my pastor carry fire, you know, and everything. Some pastors enjoy it, you know, and it's gone to the point where it's at a place where pastor would, you know, the church would say, you don't date anybody you must tell pastor, before you go out on a lunch date. You know, pastor has to check the lady out. Sometimes it's good when pastor gives you advice because they know what is happening in the congregation. But when it now becomes like a regimented way of life, then we should be questioning it. Praise God. Hallelujah. The reason why the pastor is there is to build you up and edifice. To build you up where we can let you loose into the society. And all the world sees about you is Jesus. Wow. Wow. People will say, what Bible school did you go to? You don't need to go. I sat under Pastor Steve. That's the way it's supposed to be. What ministry? No, I sat under a teaching. Because you can decipher wrong from right because of how mature your mind is. Hallelujah. It says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Christ be formed in you. Until Christ, it didn't say until Jesus. Christ, it means the anointed one with his anointing. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So the anointing is to heal all that were oppressed of the devil. The Bible says, I travail. Paul says, I have prayed. Paul says, I cry on my knees. I stay awake at night studying. I'm praying for you so that Christ can be formed in you. Everybody say, Christ formed in you.
Christ.
Praise God. I travail until Christ is formed in you. Not until I am formed in you. You know, there are, praise God, some of us preach so much like a pastor. It's good because we have a father. That's why we can preach like them. You know, we will talk exactly like word for word the way they speak. He's saying that Christ will be formed in you. You can talk like a pastor for all in eternity, but until Christ is formed in you. Until Christ is formed in you. To form means to set. To set means to be built, to be established until Christ is established. So I don't need to follow you. I don't need to want to see what you're doing behind closed doors. I don't need to want to see what you're doing when pastor is not there because I know that you are a light. That's what it should be. I know that you are a light. I know that you will shine. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, but we all with open face, all of us with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We are all looking as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. What I am beholding is the glory of the Lord. I am not beholding the glory of any other person, but the glory of the Lord. It says, I change into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. It's talking about change. It's talking about transformation. The word change here is the same word, metamorpho. Praise God. It's like metamorphosis, which I spoke about last week. We are changed as we behold, as in the mirror, the glory of the Lord. What changes us is how much time we spend in the Word of God. As you read your Bible, you are seeing more of Jesus. You are reflecting more of Jesus. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, an example I give sometimes is like, you're walking towards a bright light. Jesus is the light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And it says, you're also the light. And as you're walking towards a light shining in front of you, where will your shadow be? Your shadow will be behind you. Praise God. The more you go close, the more shadow you're casting behind. The more darkness is behind. The closer you get to Him, the brighter, the glorious your life becomes. Praise God. It says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. There is a change that comes when you spend time in the Word. There is a transformation that comes when you sit in His presence. There is a change that comes when you spend time in His Word. The Bible says when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, praise God, and they knew that, you know, they were ignorant and unlearned men. The Bible says they took knowledge of them, saying they had been with the Lord. When they saw how glorious, they saw how powerful these guys can speak, and they didn't go to university. It says they knew that these people are Jesus' people, because they know that nobody can talk so articulately or so articulate very well without really being in the presence of Jesus. The same thing is in, you know, the Gospel of Mark, where a madman was healed by Jesus. Praise God. The Bible says the story of the man, you know, he was living in tombs. He was screaming, tearing himself, cutting himself. They would tie him with chains. He would break the chains asunder. He would scream all through the night. And Jesus got there and he saw Jesus. He ran to Jesus and bowed. And the demon said, please don't cast us out. And Jesus said, you're going to go out today. He said, please, okay, if you're going to drive us, let us go into the pigs. Has anybody read that story before? Yes. Okay. Jesus cast them out and they went into the pigs. And even the pigs rebelled. Pigs, say demon will not possess me. Pigs decided to drown. Praise God. The pigs ran, you know, into the water and drowned. Instead of me carrying spirits, that is devilish spirit. Meanwhile, some people try to invoke spirits. They want to use, you know, demonic links to link demons so that they can do things. Pigs refuse to have demons in that. Anyway, when the people now came to see what was done, all their pigs died. They came to see what was done. The Bible says they saw the man sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. A madman that was living among the dead in tombs was seated at the feet of Jesus. Bible says he was clothed and he was in his right mind. He had clothes on and he was in his right mind. That means his insanity had gone. That means he could think properly. That means he could act properly. He could reason properly. He was in his right mind. Scripture says, man stood there in his right mind. Hallelujah. He was there because everything about him had transformed. Everything about him had changed. He was seated at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. Jesus gives you right mind. Jesus gives a wife right mind. Jesus gives a husband right mind. Jesus gives a home right atmosphere. He was seated in his right mind. Hallelujah. As we behold the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Show me someone that spends quality time in the Word. I will show you someone that is transformed. Hallelujah. Be transformed, the Bible says, by the renewing of your mind. God told Joshua, when Joshua resumed the work of taking over from Moses, God said to him, the only thing that guarantees your success is that you have knowledge of this book of the law. Joshua 1:8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it. Not just read it, meditate. Think on it. Ponder on it. Turn around in your mind. Gaze into it. But thou shalt meditate on it day and night. So you do the day one and you do the night one. You do the day one and you do the night one. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. So it is your responsibility to make your way prosperous. Hallelujah. It is your responsibility. Children, it is your responsibility to make your way successful. Your parents are there to guide you. But it's ultimately your responsibility to choose life. And that life is in Christ Jesus. It says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Good success comes from you making sure you are there to the Word. David says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. I've hidden your word in my heart so that I won't sin. He says, your word is a light and a lamp. It's a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. So when I'm walking, the word of God guides me. The word directs me. The word leads me. The word gives me the capacity to make right choices in life. We need to know. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God is after transformation. He's not concerned, you know, about any other thing, because he wants to take us to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That is where victory is. That is where dominion is. That is where authority is. That is where joy is. It says, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It's the presence of God that matters. Until we come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Until we come. So God wants to see Jesus is everywhere. It's a month of transformation. It's a month of change. It's a month of, you know, transmogrification in terms of mind being renewed, our inner person being changed, our spiritual person being reshaped and being reformed, until we come to that point where we are patterned after Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When our minds are transformed, the world will be a better place. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, sometimes when we talk, you know, and we mention the things that are supposed to not even be mentioned in the church, sometimes it's shocking to us. Okay, does this thing really exist? It does. And the problem is the fact that people have not come to encounter God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We're practicing religion. We understand the lingo. We know how to say hallelujah. We know how to say, wow, God is faithful. Praise the Lord with me, brother. Jesus is not formed in us. And God is calling us to that point. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For whom it is for known, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. God has predestinated you to be conformed to the image of Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
If we're conformed to the image of Christ, we won't live in bitterness. You won't live in unforgiveness. You won't live in hatred. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. I want you to speak to God. I want you to say, God, help me to be transformed. Give me the desire for your word. Give me the desire for your presence. Give me the desire for a craving in my heart. Like David says, as a deer pants after the water, so my soul pants after thee. That let my life be in conformity to your word. I want to be conformed to your word. I want to be conformed even to the image of Christ. I want to learn to love like Christ did. I want to learn to react like Christ did. In those days, we used to have WWJD, what will Jesus do? Ask yourself, what will Jesus do in your situation? Before you react, what will Jesus do? Say, Father, help me to be a light in my world, to be a light in my office, to be a light with my colleagues, to be a light among my peers, to be a light in my school, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for your help in the name of Jesus. We ask, Father, even as this, oh God, is our season of transformation, you will help us, oh God, to see you as you are, in the name of Jesus. That you will help us, oh God, to see you as you are, in the name of Jesus. Father, let self die, let flesh die, in the name of Jesus. Let fear die, in the name of Jesus. Father, let fear die, in the name of Jesus. That we will be bold, oh God, to embrace what you have done for us on the cross. In the mighty name of Jesus. Adam said, Lord, I heard your voice and I hid myself because I was afraid. Father, we will not hide ourselves in the name of Jesus. The glory that you have called us into, the strength you have given us, the grace you have given us, in the name of Jesus, we will express it fully. In the name of Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for as many struggling, oh God, those that will watch, oh God, this broadcast online. We pray for your mercy. We pray that it will encounter your grace. We pray that you will show them mercy in the name of Jesus. I pray for healing for the sick. I pray, oh God, for strength for the weary in the name of Jesus. I pray for courage for the discouraged in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
We know you've been blessed by this message. You can share your testimonies with us via email at foppccpastor@gmail.com or send an SMS or call 074-546-81018. You can also worship with us at Fountain of Praise Christian Center every Sunday at 2:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Church Road Hall, Church Road, Swanscombe, Kent, DA10-0HE. We look forward to having you in our services. God bless you.